Going to continue looking at the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7. We'll start reading at verse 14. Hear God's word. When Jesus had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him. Those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." And here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless that to our hearts, to our minds. The question of what is wrong with humanity is a perpetual question of the human experience. You know, maybe you're scrolling Facebook and you see a news article and you click it and you read it, and your reaction to the article is, "What is wrong with people?" Or you're watching the 5 o'clock news, if anyone still does that anymore, and a news story comes on, and that's the first thought that comes into your head. What is wrong with people? And we see that all the time. Many people and many cultures ask the question, and they found different answers to be satisfying to various degrees. You remember last week we saw the Pharisees be confronted on their understanding of tradition and the law, and how the traditions and the law were used for their own piety. They believed that keeping traditions that were made up, traditions of men, keeping those traditions was something that was going to make them closer to God, rather than keeping those things which are found within the Word of God. But you remember that Jesus confronted them, and he said, "Your heart is far from God." You remember that? You keep the traditions of men, and you throw out the scriptures. Now today, Jesus plays off of that idea of the heart being far from God, and the desire to keep the traditions of men, and throwing off the commandments of God in the midst of that. Today we're looking at Mark 7, 14 to 23, which we've read, and we see that Jesus continues this discussion of the heart, this discussion of the matters of the heart. Jesus answers with what Mark calls a parable. What is the matter of the heart? And Jesus gives a parable. So let's look at this question. What is wrong with humanity? What is this matter of the heart? And I want you to see how Jesus drives this question of what is wrong. He drives this question deep within the heart of you and me. So we're going to begin with the source of sin. The source of sin. Verses 15 through 16. There is nothing outside, that there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears, let him hear. So he gives this little pithy parable, and he says this is the source of sin for humanity. This is what is wrong with humanity. What is the problem of the human condition? And this is how Jesus answers it. He says that it's what comes out of a man, and man, of course, here is gender inclusive, isn't it? It means person, male, female, it includes both. But what Jesus says is that which comes out of a person is that which defiles a person. Again, that's in the context of the Pharisees and their traditions. And the Pharisees practiced a piety that said defilement comes from outside. Outside things defile us. If you avoid unbelievers, you're not defiled. If you pray this many times during the day, you are not defiled. If you fast on these 2 days of the week, you are not defiled. And if you avoid this outward thing versus that outward thing, you are not defiled. But what Jesus does is he comes along and he gives what Mark calls a parable, and he says it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out of the person that defiles him. So we meditate on that. We meditate on that parable. Jesus wants us to ruminate on that, to think it through. What is he trying to tell us? Things coming in do not defile, but things that go out. Now, is he saying that there's nothing that could be harmful to the human body? Like if you decided to live off of McDonald's 3 times a day, 7 days a week, well, maybe you'd say 6 days a week, keep the Lord's Day, and you just said, that's all I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat Big Macs and French fries, and I'm going to drink large Cokes. And would that harm your body? Well, yes, but Jesus isn't giving health advice. It's a parable. He's giving a parable about the spiritual condition of mankind. He's using physical food, that which goes into the body, to point you to something that is metaphysical. Metaphysical, something beyond the physical body. So he uses that which is related to the body to teach us a lesson that is beyond the body. He's talking about sin and corruption and spiritual uncleanness that is found within all of humanity. And he says that when you want to find the source of that, when you want to look around and say, what is wrong with humanity? He says you don't look outside, you look in here. And you find the answer even within your own heart. The word defile means to make unholy, or to make something common, or to pollute something. So the source of sin is not something that is out there. It's not like if the Pharisees could just go and, you know, maybe buy some island in the Mediterranean and build this perfect utopian society, if sin would go away in that land. It's not possible. And the reason it's not possible is because we bring our hearts with us, don't we? The problem is within. And that's true for you all as well. You don't sin because you live around sinners, or you don't sin because your children, quote unquote, made you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You sin because what you go to bed with at night and what you wake up with in the morning is that which is the source of sin. And it's your own heart. It's you. The problem is within. So what do we do about that? If that's a problem with humanity and we can't just fix it by going out there and fixing our environment, so to speak, which many people do, how can we fight sin? And that answer is found in verses 17 through 20. I'll read that. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man." We see, secondly, the striving against sin. So Jesus has made this statement to the people about defilement as being something that comes from within a person. And then they get back into the house, and the disciples say, "You know, what is that that you were talking about over there? What did you mean by that concerning defilement coming from within? I'm not sure I really understand this whole within and without discussion, Jesus." So he says, "You still don't get it? You still don't get it?" And then he explains it to them. He says that the striving against sin is not essentially a matter of outward things, but it's a matter of inward things. And that is something that everybody needs to hear. It's not something where sin is able to be healed only by outward things, where we say, "I'm going to take care of this, and we're going to change this environment and clean up this environment, and then sin will go away." That's not how it happens. That's not the reality. But I want you to note that this is often the most common practice for humanity. You know, you think about the way that human condition is attempted to be solved in, say, the federal government or the United Nations. You know, if we could only get education, if we could only get more money to these families, or when I lived in Los Angeles, if we could only get every kid to have an iPad. And they did it. Like, literally, taxpayers gave every kid an iPad. Then society's problems. And that's usually the way that things work. It's the way that things unfold. And if that sounds ridiculous to you, know that that's in our history as a church as well, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. You know, we were prominent within the temperance movement. The temperance movement said, if we would stop getting dads to go to the bars, we would solve the sin problems in the home. And there's lots of writing to that regard. And we understood the theology of the Bible, but we still fell into that mindset that says if we can solve all these outward things, that the inward things will change. So in all of this striving against sin, and all of the ways that outward things are used to cure sin and to strive against sin, it's unable to cure. It's like if you had a maze that had no exit. You know, you look at a puzzle, a maze on a piece of paper, and what if there was no exit? You're never going to solve the puzzle. It's never going to happen. There's no way to get from point A to point B because there's no route that's there. And outward attempts to cure sin and to cure the human condition and to solve the real problems that are at the core of society, these are not problems that can essentially, meaning at the essence of, be cured by outward things. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't, you know, care about education and world hunger and all those things? Of course not. But those things don't cure the sinful human condition. And Jesus uses the idea of outward things and inward things. And it's something that we need to hear. Mark says this is where Jesus declares all food clean. It's sort of this little reminder that Mark is not writing just to Jews or to Jews. He's writing with the Gentiles in mind. You know, you're sitting in your Gentile fellowship meal and reading the ceremonial laws while eating pork. You say, well, are we supposed to do that? And Mark's saying, remember, Jesus has declared all food's clean, and it's part of that breaking down of the ceremonial law, even while he's having this discussion about the problems of the heart and how there's not a theological connection between the outward things and the heart. The theological connection is between the heart and that which comes out of the mouth. That's the theological connection that Jesus uses. He's beginning to break down this ceremonial law, and it's not because abstaining from those things are able to create some sort of piety. They were there as a lesson for the believer. The ceremonial law's lesson for the food laws was to teach us about holiness, to teach us that there are things that are clean and there are things that are unclean, and there are people that are clean and there are people that are unclean. And the way to get there is not people eating clean things to become clean, because Jesus says the heart isn't connected to the digestive system. He says the heart is connected differently. It's a matter of the heart. And what I want you to understand is that it really was always a matter of the heart in the Old Testament as well. You can read through the law of Moses, and you can read the command to circumcise your heart. That's because the outward things are intended to teach us about inward things. That's the point of these laws. And that's what Jesus is reminding them. It is a matter of the heart. How bad is the human condition if all of these outward things are unable to cure the problem? You know, you might say, well, maybe we just need to try harder, or maybe there's a better system that we could have in place, or maybe if we were just more committed to this thing, we could solve the condition of the human heart. And I want you to understand that that is not possible. You remember our forefathers, Adam and Eve, were in the perfect environment. They were in an environment without sin, and they still managed to sin, didn't they? And we live in a fallen world. And we can't expect that the nature, our sinful nature, is able to live in holiness when by nature we're already sinners and we sin. We're prone to think that our neighbor is worse than we are. We're prone to think that generally we're okay, and it's others that have sin issues. Even when we think of these matters of the heart. But I want you to look at, thirdly, this evening as we close, verses 21 through 23, and we see the scope of sin. The scope of sin. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Now you might have a different translation. Those words could be translated in a few different ways, but you get the point. You get the point. What Jesus is doing is he's saying, if you were to be able to do, say, a moral autopsy on the human heart, what would you find? Like, we can do physical autopsies. Somebody dies, they open the body, they can remove the heart, and they can say, we can look at this heart and we can tell you, this is why this person died. Jesus is saying, what if you could do a moral autopsy on the human heart? What would you find? And he tells us what we would find. We would find a very common morality within. We would find a list of sins that we find scattered throughout the New Testament. Jesus isn't the only one that uses a list similar to this. The Apostle Paul uses it. It's several times in the New Testament. You can go back in the Old Testament and you can find lists of the sins of the Gentiles. You can find lists of the sins of the people of God in the land. You can find the lists of the reasons why the people of God went into captivity twice. And it's a matter of the heart. Jesus tells us within the heart of man and woman is sin. Sin is a lack of conformity to or transgression of the Word of God. And when our first parents fell in the garden, the whole of the human race that would be born from them fell. Every child born with a heart that is naturally estranged from God and naturally inclined to sin and corruption. You might say, well, I don't know if that's true. There were some really cute babies here this morning, just big smiles, and they did have big smiles, didn't they? You say, how could you say that little baby's a sinner? Well, that little baby's going to get a little older, or those little babies are going to get a little older, and they're going to start saying no. Who taught them to say no? Who taught them to say mine? Or to pull a toy away from another little tiny baby? Who taught them those things? Their own heart taught them those things. Does that mean we don't love them? Of course we love them. But the natural condition of humanity is that the moral autopsy tells us that these things, these sinful things, are within us. This is part of what it means to be human. The little child grows up and the little child lies to avoid consequences or discipline. Who taught them that? Who taught Cain to murder his brother? Who taught Noah to be a drunk? Who taught Abraham to lie to protect himself and really to put his wife in danger of serious abuse? Who taught Lot to fornicate with his daughters? Who taught David to commit adultery? Who taught Solomon to covet? Who taught Peter to deny Jesus? Who taught Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Spirit? And we know the answer. These things are within the heart. Who taught you to sin? Again, congregation, these things are from within. It is the disposition of your nature outside of Jesus Christ and outside of the redemption that is only offered and available in Jesus Christ. Jesus says if we did that moral autopsy on the human heart, we would find evil thoughts, which means bad dialogues in Greek. We would find fornication, sexual immorality. We talked about that word last week, the Greek word for that last week in the morning service. Theft, stealing, murder, killing without a just cause, adultery, violating marriage vows, coveting, a greedy desire to have more, wickedness, which could also be depravity or evil purposes, deceit, malice, another way to translate it, literally means to catch with bait, a very interesting word, sensuality or unbridled lusts, excess, shameless uses of vices, envy, that's literally having an evil eye, slander, blasphemy, speaking against one another, pride, arrogance, the elevated view of self, looking with contempt at others, foolishness, senselessness, reckless thoughts and behaviors, folly. Like, that's to give you a sort of an overview of the scope of the Greek words that are there and the various ways, maybe four or five different ways that they can be translated. And what Jesus says, you know, you look at a man and you say, what defiled that man? Why is that man a sinner? Why is that woman a sinner? And the world looks on and they say, well, you know, let's look at his environment and let's blame his parents and let's blame his education and let's blame this and let's blame that. And Jesus says, all of those things may be problematic, but the problem is a matter of the heart. And when you look within and you do that autopsy on the human heart, what we find is a whole list, a whole scope of human sin that is there waiting to be accessed. From the human heart comes all of this. And all of these things we know are violations of God's holy and moral law. Now, you may have heard that list or heard some of the different ways that that list is translated. And some of you, you know, you might say, Pastor Nathan, that word pricked my heart. And others might say, you know what? This is if we were having honest conversations. I didn't think anything of that word, but man, did this word convict me. We're different and we're the same, aren't we? It's the same condition. Sin, that which is able to keep you from heaven, that which separates you from God, and without righteousness, you are unable to stand before God. That righteousness is only available in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, all evil things come from within. So what that means for us is if we passed a law that every bad thing was illegal, we'd be in the same place. If we passed a million laws against every bad thing, we'd still be in the same place. Your heart is in need of cleansing. That is the problem. So what do we do with this? Where does that leave us? Should I just say amen and we go home and be like, man, we're awful? Like, should that be where we leave us? In verse 14, Jesus says, hear and understand. In verse 16, he says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. You see, the Savior is the Savior from sin, and he wants you to hear this, not so that you will look into your heart and wallow in misery, but to know that it is the Lord Jesus who's saying these things, so that you will open up your heart and do that moral autopsy and say, Lord, you are right, and go to him, the one who is able to heal, the one who is able to solve the matters of the heart. Jesus is not just a talking head. He's not a, you know, if you're into modern philosophy, he's not a deconstructionist. You know, that's somebody that just wants to deconstruct every position and just leave this philosophical mess behind them. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's not a cynic. Jesus is the Savior of the world that gives us a starting point, the starting point that says, I need Christ. And that starting point is knowing our own hearts and then knowing that we have a Savior to which we can run. He says, do you not understand? If you have ears, hear it. Cling to Christ. Only he can solve the matters of the heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who doesn't leave us to wallow in our sin and understands the conditions of our heart. We pray, O Lord, that we would each cling to the Savior. Amen. Let's